Hey guys, TJ Eisenhart here, and this is the next stage. We're super excited, me and Tyler, to have Corey Williams on this week. Corey is one of the co-creators of Legion of Los Angeles. Corey has crushed it in the crit scene. Corey has, I feel like he saw the future 10 years ago. And has definitely seen the market and has exploded. Here's someone that has stayed in America and stayed true to who he is. And I feel like that's exactly the type of story we want to hear here on the Next Stage podcast is, people creating cool things, staying true to who they are, and, moving forward when times are difficult. And I think Corey is definitely one of the best examples for that. Definitely was a big example. For me creating Imaginary Collective. So we're super excited to have you on, Corey. Tyler, I'll let you take it away, man, and kind of introduce Corey some more, and because you race on his team of Legion. So.
Yeah, hey guys. So I'm stoked that Corey came on this week. Known Corey since I was 14, since I first started racing, was going down to the SoCal crit races, and he was kicking my ass then, and he still is today. Shooting gaps that I never thought were possible that didn't I never saw. Now I'm his teammate, so here we are. Thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, thank you guys for having me.
So Corey is like basically the king of social media. I think he's one of the best cycling influencers, bike influencers there is. And he has 60,000 Instagram followers, which is a ton for
That's insane. That
bro.
is so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been
And
crazy.
I've never signed a world tour contract.
Nope.
Like that is like let that let's yeah, we'll definitely start with that and then we can have you talk about, creating Legion and everything. But I think that is one of the most crazy things to when you pull up your, social media or your YouTube channel
Yeah,
and it's like I said,
60,000 and
Wow,
26,000 on
60,000.
YouTube. So
Bro, yeah.
That's
pretty,
insane.
pretty, pretty
It's
crazy, man. Tell us like, so just get into it. I mean, you started racing when you were how old? And then just like, tell us about like those young days. I don't know if you remember racing. You were too good then.
Oh, come on, man.
no, but like,
Couple.
but yeah, tell me about those, like when you were on Major Motion and like, just crit racing then, and then like kind of where it's taken you, and then now like also how that kind of morphed into the social media aspect that you've like absolutely crushed.
Yeah, so I actually started playing football when I was 8 years old, and then I got into racing bikes the year after that. So like basically I would play football in the off season and then go back to racing bikes when we didn't have any football going on or track. So I always been into sports since I was like really young, and just got this like super cool vibe of being on a team playing football, and I wanted to bring that over to cycling.
Yeah,
But like
like
that was a big reason, like even creating a team and like showing guys, how to be teammates and how to sell out. I think that was learned at a very young age for me.
sure. That team
So,
sport
yeah,
aspect.
definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Definitely.
And then yeah,
So
we go back to racing. Racing you guys when I was younger. I remember both of you guys actually.
yeah, man, talk about that. I mean, let's I honestly literally when I want to have everyone hear your story because it's pretty crazy where, this kid from LA, and because you've known what you've wanted to do since I've known you,
Yeah.
and I've known you since I was 12 years old, racing Pennsylvania
Bro,
Nationals.
yes.
Again, you're racing for Major Motion, and then you knew that your calling was crit racing. You didn't even bother racing like anything else. You just knew. And every year you stayed true to that. Like you knew your calling. And like it's crazy because, with USA Cycling, I feel like you and I, it's crazy at kind of opposite spectrums, but definitely, can see the vibe is I feel like they were so focused on GC building after kind of the Lance era and got so hyped about, all right, getting these climbers, then turning them to time trials, then getting them skinny. And anyone that said different and said, no, I'm going to focus on like sprinting, I'm going to focus on, and I feel like nobody else, you know, actually, I mean, we see now kind of in the development program, we have no sprinters in, like world tour sprinters and for the United States.
Yeah, so I remember actually racing you in Pennsylvania, like you said, you were like the smallest kid, bro. Like the smallest kid. And I remember like you getting your handlebar stuck on someone else's in the crit and you didn't crash. And I was so amazed, bro. I was like, damn, that guy can ride a bike. And like, I didn't even know you at the time. I just remember seeing that and I was like, all right, I need to know this kid. Who the hell is this guy? And then you like watching him grow up, man, it was just crazy. Like watching the path you took, like going on BMC was like not the path that a lot of guys took. They went to action. So like, there was pretty cool to see, you know, you guys were doing something different. I would love to do something different, like doing crit racing and sprinting.
Yeah. So what turned that on to like, I mean, because we're all the same age. We've grown up together. We've been in the same training camps. We've done all that. And I mean, like I said, I feel like you've stayed true to yourself since the beginning. And, you know, I've said, I'm just a sprinter and I'm just going to focus on that. And so definitely got put, you know, brushed aside. And, you know, that definitely, and then, you know, to then, like I said, you see me and Tyler moving to Europe, you know, like, chasing BMC, this European life, like you at that time, let's see, were you racing for Silence at that time? Signed like out of the
junior? It was Silence, but at first it was called InCycle Canando.
So InCycle. So you're staying with InCycle, and what are your thoughts? I mean, you're seeing, I mean, because for me at that time, it was basically like, it's Europe or nothing. And like, if I wasn't there, then I was ready to quit, you know, and I was ready to just basically, you know, I don't know, go study art at school or something. And like, so how, I mean, I feel like that's kind of the thing is everyone's going to want to know, because like, you now have 60,000 followers. That's more than a lot of the world tour riders. That's more than a lot of like a lot of people. You have a great following on YouTube. You've created this team with your brother that is now known worldwide and has some of the biggest sponsors in, you know, the cycling world. So where do you go from basically, you know, seeing us go to Europe and you're staying on that path? Like, was it easy to stay like, no, like, did you know you were going to do this, or were you just pushing through it and knew that something good was going to happen? Or were you just like,
A good question, right? So like basically, you know, just like you guys, I wanted to be world tour at the beginning. And like I remember, so in SoCal there's not really many road races, so like of course I'm not training for road races, because like I only do three of them a year and one is like nationals, right? So like I didn't even think it was important, actually. Like when I was a kid, when I was younger, I didn't even think road racing was that important, because all we did was crits. So like I got really good at that, and like that was my bread and butter, right? So going through like the national championships, I would be like top five every year in the crit, and I wouldn't be I'll be in the top 20 for like most of my junior career. So I'm like, all right, well, they can see that I have the potential in road racing, but I'm also a really good sprinter. But like you said, they didn't really tailor to like people like me with my ability to sprint. It was all about like time trials and GC guys. So I feel like I kind of just got left in the dust with that. Like,
did you ever like bring that up with them? You know,
talked to the national team. They were like, all right, get more road racing results. And I was like, okay, so like now I train more, like this is like 17 18 I trained more. Like, I did San Dimas. I won the green jersey. I won the road race. I got, like, fourth place at Sea Otter Circuit. I got third place overall at Valley of the Suns. So I was, like, on the right track. And I even got, like, top 20 at Nationals in the first year, 17, 18. And, like, nothing ever came of it.
So then once once you, like, kind of got out of that, the juniors, and, like, you kind of had to, like, you didn't obviously didn't have the opportunity that to go to like an Action or BMC. So yeah, you went to InCycle, which then became Silence. And then you started to kind of like, along with Justin, like kind of like form your like find your niche, yeah, you know, skills. And then what kind of, when did like the social media thing begin to take off for you?
So I remember actually buying my first GoPro, like, I think that's what it all started. Like, I remember watching Extreme Sports and thinking, like, man, it would be so cool to see what's going on inside of the Peloton. Because I know we see some crazy things, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you see some crazy things. Nuts. And, like, I remember being made fun of for wearing this, like, really massive GoPro on the top of my head.
Dude.
And everyone was talking about
we
it.
We were just talking about that. We were honestly just talking about that and how – I mean, that's exactly what I said, is like, you saw the future, because now they're adding us to the world tour events with the GoPro, and it's so crazy. Like, I mean, everyone wrote that off. Everyone would always, I always remember it is just like always hearing about your helmet cam. And it was just like, I just think it's so crazy now, because now everyone's got to be like,
I mean, themselves. Like I said, like I got a camera and I started doing that. And I had a lot of fun being creative with, like, making the videos, watching, like, all of my mistakes, and, like, learning to be a better bike racer. Like, because when you're when you're in the last 20 minutes of a race, man, your heart rate is super high. You don't really remember much, right? So, like, just being able to go back and watch that was, like, a very massive advantage for me. So, like, from there, I, like, got in love with – I got in love with making videos, and then like that kind of ties into the media part, right? Because I created my YouTube page.
Yeah,
yeah, that's so cool, man. That's so. I think that sounds just. I mean, like, it stems from your football past, is going and looking at game tape, and that's something that, you know, I feel like is very, very new even today. You know, in the World Tour, and
been on it, bro.
Yeah,
been on it.
Yeah, so then, like, that, like TJ just said, like, with, like, you kind of were, like, breaking down, like, film. I remember watching these videos. I remember sitting at the national team house watching a video that you did from Sanderfell Twilight where all of Mike's bikes crashed in the last
time. Oh, yeah. Oh, that
was epic. And that was when I was like, wow. Like you said, like, everyone's kind of, like, laughing at you about doing the videos, but at the same time, everyone's watching these videos going, like, holy shit, this is, like, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, you had to, like, use that to kind of, like, build your career.
Yeah, actually.
To kind of, like, where it's gotten. So explain to me, like, kind of how the that challenge, like, how you've, like, kind of overcome that challenge of, like, you've had to, like, make a career in cycling in a different way than, like, the standard way of, like, okay, we all wanted to go to the World Tour.
Yeah.
We all kind of, like, originally set out on that path. You found your own way to do it. How do you feel about that now? How did you feel about that then?
Yeah, well, like, creating, like, this whole hype basically around what I do. Like, I don't feel like people watch crits that often. Like, it was all about the World Tour, and, like, I wasn't there, and I wasn't, like, really headed there in my eyes, right? So, like, I was like, okay, I have to create something that people are interested in. So, like, with these videos, people are gonna love people crashing. Crazy things happening in the final of a race. So I'll, like, use all that to my advantage to, like, build a whole platform of, like, just a crowd of people or, like, fans, basically, to support me. Like, I've been on teams and they, like, paid me to make videos.
Sure.
And there's, like, some times where, like, I probably got on a team because of, like, making videos, even though, like, I was, like, one of the best crit racers in the country.
Yeah, but they saw the value in the,
exactly,
in the content rather than, yeah, sure. And then, you know, like, Justin Justin like kind of went a different way where he went straight into the Trek Live Strong originally, and he had that national team experience a bit.
Yeah.
Like how did like your relationship with Justin, like how did his like experience pass into you? And then that kind of like, cause then you guys became teammates later on, right?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I saw him go to actually Rock Racing first, and I swore I was going to be on that team, bro.
Yeah.
like that was,
that's a perfect team for you.
I promise,
man.
Bro. I was like,
yeah, it's I was a like, cool I'm project,
gonna,
man.
I'm going to be on Rock it's Racing cool. And then it folded. Sad right. day, bro. But like that was a cool opportunity for Justin because he got to go to Livestrong.
Yeah,
and like that probably was the first year of that team, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it just started, and like I didn't even know how massive it was going to be. I remember Taylor being on there and like Justin getting to go do like Qatar and Oman, and like that kind of sparked another fire in me, man. Like I was like, all right, well, if Justin can do it, maybe I can get there too.
Yeah,
but like I generally didn't have the same opportunities as him growing up. I think his track background got him to get to like a couple other places. I wasn't too serious in track. I think Justin has like right. 8 track national championships.
So like from there,
that was go ahead.
That was like kind of what I was like wondering was like, you know, Justin was like given some different opportunities that you didn't get. And I was wondering why you thought that happened. And then like, you know, how you overcame that challenge. I mean, you've had to like, you know, carve your own path.
Yeah. I mean, it's been tough, man. Like obviously I wanted to ride on the national team. Like I said, I emailed the coaches. They told me to email the track coach. And I was just like, that's not what I want to do. And I'm not going to sell sure. out to go like do whatever. I want to be happy. Like basically I was like, all right, well, I guess that's not going to happen. And that's kind of the path Justin took, right? Because he went to Europe with the track team and then he got on the road team from there because he was already over there.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like part, maybe I should have tried to take that path. But like I said, I'm like not one to do things that aren't going to make me happy. And maybe that's like why I missed the opportunity to go over to Europe.
Sure. That's why you're still in the game today too, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I think like those experiences like definitely led like to you have, I mean, you definitely ride with a chip on your shoulder. There's no doubt about it. I think that's why you're so successful too. It definitely makes you an excellent like sprinter and like a super great teammate. Just because you're going to do, you know, when as a, like someone who's helping a lot of guys that finish races, like you want to have that guy who you know is going to do everything in their power to finish and do a good job for the team. You have the chip on your shoulder that makes you do that. Like how do you don't hide it either. That's your personality. Like how do you feel like that makes you better?
I just feel like I show everyone that I'm willing to give them all. Like for my teammates, like you guys understand that I'll do everything in my power to win. And like, I know it comes off sometimes as bad when we lose, but like, everyone should be mad when they lose, right? Like yeah. Sometimes guys are like okay with it. And like I said, I come from football where losing is never okay.
Yeah.
And like sometimes we clash because not everyone has that background.
And having been teammates with you and TJ 100% was like that back.
yeah.
Man, let's, what a cutthroat.
Yeah,
throat.
I would love to
like,
hear it. Man, I mean,
TJ was – he, I mean, still is just in different ways now. But – back in like when you kind of took off because your career TJ like kind of like skyrocketed almost out of nowhere in a way, but like you know you guys both had that, like,
it was crazy. I mean
and having gotten to like work for both of you guys that was something that I always like took a lot of pride in. I remember TJ when he won Tour de Pays des Vosges, which was like the first time the national team had like done anything in Europe in like kind of quite a while, and TJ was just an absolute monster. And I don't know. I think it's something. Yeah. I think there is something to that. Like TJ had his, you know, you were turned on all the time and you wanted it. And I remember seeing how mad you were when like a TT didn't go your way. There was no settling. Oh, like TJ's like, oh man, like, yeah, I remember those days too. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, that's exactly what we want to, I think that leads us to talk to about the start of Legion is it's that point of, you know, just not wanting to quit. And then I feel like Corey's doing, we're the exact same, you know, mentality of like winning is just everything, you know, or for me, it was everything, you know, and like when I like was racing at that high level, it was all about winning absolutely everything, like the sprinter's jersey. I remember us at Pays the Vote taking home everything. And I feel like that's the same mentality
for sure.
You know, Corey, you guys lead at Legion. And, you know, I think it's pretty impressive. I want you to now talk about Legion because you guys kind of are this team that literally popped out of nowhere. That last year had teammates that a lot of people never had heard of. And, you know, you guys were coming into it differently. You guys were approaching it with social media, everything. So I really want to hear that because, like I said, you guys, I feel like were the underdogs last year.
Yeah.
Started with zero and basically won everything. So
why don't funny tell story us kind is of about like, last I was, year? I was on Elevate for 2 years and, like, I just wasn't getting – like many opportunities and like that, you know, that gets annoying when you're training your ass off and, you know, you don't get to go to Tour Taiwan or whatever the case may be. And, Justin was racing by himself and he was like, dude, like quit the team and just come race with me. And, you know, I'm a very loyal guy. So I was like, all right, man, like I'm not going to quit like mid season. Cause I just don't think that's right. So I did the whole season. Yeah. I won a couple big races, and at the end of the year, he was like, "All right, look, like let's start a team." And I was like, "What? Let's start a team? This man is crazy." Like Justin is honestly like he has so many ideas. He's always like running on level 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Yeah, this guy,
oh my
like,
gosh, that's there's a my lot of issue. Things
that don't get done because, like, he's already on to the next thing. That's who he is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm 100% that way. Get so distracted with the next idea.
So he's like, all right, let's make a team. And I was like, well, I don't want to do the whole, like, Conti thing again where, like, you know, there's a lot of politics. You don't get paid much. And it's just, like, miserable, man. And like I said, I'm not the type of guy that likes to be miserable. So like, I was like, all right, like I already know how to do social media, and essentially like all we're doing is marketing products, and like the racing is just for us. Like the racing is have fun. So like, I was like, I know how to do this. Yeah. I can build Legion up because we started something called Concept Team, and like Concept Team.
What was that?
Yeah.
It was concept. We started
that, and I was kind of like playing around. We would like help the guys out, and we're trying to develop riders and kind of just see. So we kind of had an idea of what we could build, but we didn't have full control over that. So we were like, all right, we're going to make our own team. Like I said, I already knew how to do social media, and I figured I can blow it up. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And we got some sponsors. And Specialized gave Justin some money, and they were like, "You can do whatever you want with this money. Like, they don't care if you had a, they didn't care if you had a team. He just like they gave him money, and they're like, all right, do whatever you want." So like, we make this team. We get guys like Hunter Grove, who I've been teammates with like 7 years, so a very long time. We get guys like Diego Benatina, who's like been through USA Cycling, kind of got like spit out the back end, and like. Has a ton of potential, right?
Yeah.
And then we have a whole bunch of other random guys
that
like don't have a lot of experience in cycling. And the whole mentality of like, I keep bringing it back to football is like, man, when you get guys to believe in one goal, it doesn't matter who they are, honestly, man. Like you bring these guys together and they'll ride like the best dudes in the country. And that's exactly what happened. Like we took off. And like, just it was amazing, man. It was amazing.
They had some washed up, guy from Northern California and be like, hey, can I come guest ride with you guys a couple of times?
And like, and Tyler was like, hey, can I guest ride? And I was like, my mind was just blown because like this dude just come back from like cycling academy. And like I remember this kid like,
oh my gosh,
in Bend, Oregon. This guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, Corey, like, can I ride the TT course with you? And I'm like, yeah, bro, let's go. Yeah. And like, I remember that story. And like, see, like I said, like watching you two grow up and like go to like the BMC development team was like crazy for me. I was like super happy for you guys. And then like for Tyler to come back and ride with me now, it's just incredible.
Yeah. It's a small world.
Yeah. I think it's crazy where we end up.
You said one thing that I think that should definitely get acknowledged is when you and Justin were making Legion, is, you know, Specialized was like, hey, like, here's some money, like, do what you want with it. And I think that is what you guys did with that, as opposed to what most people in, you know, most people would have just been like, sweet, like, here's my money, like, in the pocket, like, I'll do some. And you guys like decided like, nah, we're going to empower a bunch of other guys, give like Tyler like a place like to call home. And then also like the amount of selflessness that takes to just basically like, look, I'm going to give this money to this cause that I believe in this project I believe in. And with no guarantees that you're going to get any return on that. Right.
Exactly.
Like, obviously it was a great call because now the team's kind of blowing up. But before then, you were just like, basically, you and Justin were just investing your own money. And you still are into the team.
Yeah.
Hoping gambled that we're going to make something that is going to be a home for a lot of guys.
Yep.
And you guys can take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, man. Like, when I'm growing up, man, like, my parents always had, like, so we come from Belize. And, like, there's not a lot of money there. And my parents would always have people staying at our house for, like, months at a time helping people. So, like, it's just in our nature to help people. Like, they gave us, like, these sponsors gave us money. And, like, they kind of just wanted me and Justin to ride together.
It's for you guys. Exactly. Not for the team.
Yeah, it was for us. And, like, they're like, all right, like, do whatever you guys want with it. Like, we can't tell you what to do. And we were like, all right, well, we're going to bring our boys. Like, we know we're treated bad in cycling. We want to create, like, this happy space where if everyone's happy, we're all going to ride great. And that's what we did, man. Like, we never had a lot of money, like, growing up. So, like, it wasn't going to be anything new if we didn't take all the money that the sponsors gave and put in our pockets.
Sure. Sure. And now you've got this team, and, I mean, ideally it's gonna have a lot of money, hopefully, in the next couple of years. I mean, how much did the budget, like, at least doubled, you know, in the last year already? And it's the team's what, tripled. 18-19 months old, so tripled. Yeah, so like
actually more
clearly than that, was a good investment. Clearly was a good investment.
So I mean, how are you, I mean, if you're wanting to Legion to be successful and sustainable, like, how are you planning on, you know, especially right now with coronavirus going, canceling all the events?
Yeah.
How, like, and again, last year, because that's one thing that's crazy is you're still, like, I feel like you're still a team. So how are you, you know, getting your sponsors involved and, you know, basically selling them on, like, this is how we're planning on making money. You know, this is how we're planning on moving forward, investing, you know, Specialized. This is what we're going to do with your money. This is how, you know, we plan on kind of making more, you know, or, content, you know, like content.
Yeah. So with that, like I said, content is very important to this team. So like most of the time we have a lot of content on hand.
Yeah.
And like, we literally been just milking that. And like, our team has grown from, I think, about 15K. Or no, actually, we caught the best pro continental team and followers last year.
We caught Action in December.
We caught Action in December, bro, and that was 18K.
And oh my god.
From there to now we have 30K. So during coronavirus,
how is that, like, you're not, that's so crazy to me, because, you know, like, you guys are turning your Tuesday night crits racing down in LA into something awesome and marketable, and just through content. But it's just like, it's so crazy that, you know, you guys are thriving, not even thriving, but still growing during this time when, you know, everyone else is questioning whether even a sponsor,
exactly.
You know, continue sponsorship.
Yeah. And that's just because we take social media so serious, and I think people are catching on, but now it's too late. Like, there's no content that you can go out and get.
All behind.
And don't forget, and this probably is forgotten, but Justin and Corey, they hustle. I mean, they're on it constantly, every day,
yeah,
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
The work ethic that these guys have, like, to put into building this team, like, it didn't just fall into their laps. I think some people probably, like, have that perception, but, I mean, no, man, these guys, like, it is incredible, like, the amount of commitment that they have to that content game. And then obviously then they pull up to the race and they still, you know, whoop on everyone. I think, like, one of the cool content things that, you know, you and Justin do, and then kind of how TJ has built Imaginary Collective in the same way, is, you know, like, having your own personality and style embedded within, you know, your bike.
Yeah.
I think pro cycling is very, like, obviously very vanilla,
bro.
You don't have like your own personality. You can't put your own flair on a whole lot. TJ, I know, had that, experience at BMC, I'm Converse, and I personally was like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Wait, what?
Because
yeah,
this man used to wear pink Converse on the podium.
I was like,
what the heck? But yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you guys talk about that.
Well, I mean, back then, again, everyone, same like you, I saw the potential in social media, obviously.
Yeah.
I haven't crushed it as much as you, but, like, I saw how important standing out was and having a voice and originality.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, yeah, choosing pink Converse, wearing those instead of my team shoes.
Yeah.
Instead of my team shoes, because I knew they would stand out.
Yeah.
And I knew. And then I used those photos to then contact Converse, which then led to a sponsorship for like 2 years. And like, it's crazy. I still have a closet full of like literally probably like 15, 20 Converse.
That's awesome.
Like all like custom when I did, you know, won nationals and everything. And I've just always believed in that. I mean, I still like, I think it's silly that people wear just black and white shoes. And like, you see people in the NBA or any other sport, you know, going out every game in, you know, almost a new pair. Yeah. And they're allowed to create. And that's something I'm definitely trying to push with Spider and
show, dude. Like, yeah, I see it.
Cause I think a lot of people are just also scared with all like the bike measurements and been scared of like numbers.
Yeah.
Because like I go out and I wear a new pair, a new color every day. And it's the coolest thing ever.
I am a little bit
and
jealous.
Because yeah, it's awesome. But that's what I want to do is, I mean, for me, I feel like you and Justin can relate is I love that. I love fashion like that. I see it with you guys. Like, and I basically want to take the sneaker world and put it into cycling where people are like, oh my gosh, we're having the limited editions. These like we have too much black and white and too much neon and we don't have enough working with athletes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for like I like see it all the time, dude. Like even when I was on Elevate, they didn't even want me training in different socks. And like they had these like boring black and like purple. It wasn't even blue, bro. It was purple. Like they messed up the color and it was purple socks.
Yeah, I've seen Bassetti socks.
And I was like, bro, and they're like, oh, why do you want to be different?
Yeah, that's the attitude.
Yeah, first of all, I am different, and like, yeah, I'll pull up with Gucci socks, and like, they're wondering like where I get the money from when they're paying me like shit. Seriously,
that's the truth, though, man. They're like, oh, you want to be different? Well, no.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I really had a problem with it. I feel like I always like kind of almost got a bad name because like I wanted to be different, where like I wear cool socks, and I didn't always want to be in like the boring white socks and like black shoes. Like I always wanted to like stand out, like TJ is saying. Like that's why we created our own team. Now we can do whatever and show actually that it's very important for guys to have their own identity.
Yeah. And you and TJ have basically done almost the same thing, gone two completely different directions, yeah, but with the same kind of goal in mind, you know, like
exactly.
Well, that's because I wanted to join Legion last year.
Yeah.
I know. What happened to that, man? He disappeared.
It just was the fact that, like, the goal, like, the vibe was the same, but the goals were different.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know what I mean?
I feel that.
Like, because, I mean, I even when I remember calling up Justin and just being so tired of the road scene.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole, like, because I just saw, like, already that you guys were creating, and it was what I wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was, well, at least I thought, yeah, because it was, like, you guys already had it created, you know, already had those. And then, you know, you get going and, like, you just get more and more, I feel like, inspired off what you guys continue to create.
Yeah.
You know, so, like you guys said, you build a relationship with Specialized where you guys giving, like, bikes away to kids, yep, which is pretty rad. And so for me, it was just like, you know, I wanted to just focus more on the artistry and, like, going camping and riding your bike.
Yeah, you gotta do what makes you happy, man.
Yeah, but it was like, I still follow you guys and use you guys every day as, you know, the example of, you know, all right, what do I need to post today? How does that kind of look? How are they doing
it?
You
know, hey, so many people, like, could do that, and it will be, their social media will be way better.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, I legit, when creating Imaginary Collective, basically just used you guys as a blueprint.
That's dope.
You know, you just look. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, you just made it smaller. We just focused on, we made our end target a little different. But the very, like, basically the very beginning, the same thing. It was like looking in my phone, like you and Justin, seeing, you know, who we know.
Yep.
Because we all know people, and being like, hey, that's the owner of this company. That's the owner of this company. Like, let's ring them up and see what we can do.
Makes sense. It seems like people make it all seem really hard. Like, I've been on teams where it's so boring, and like they just don't get it. And that's why sponsors disappear, because at the end of the day, they figure out that it's not worth the investment.
They take away the story that guys have. I mean, everyone has their own. That's kind of like the cool thing about this podcast is, like, you know, TJ and I have our own story. We started the same place. We've gone completely different directions. We've, like, overlapped several times. You and I, same thing, like, you know, 10 plus 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
You know, started
so,
like,
old.
Started one place. Oh, man, I tell you. Yeah, like, you know,
me and Tyler both have kids, man.
Oh, yeah, you guys are leaving me in the dust in that department.
He's baking away in Bria right now. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, but the attitude of, like, at least with the pro cycling scene, and Corey, you can, like, definitely, and TJ both, like, can comment on this, like, you know, the old head, like, mentality is, it needs, everyone's the same, like, the one unit, everyone looks the same, does the same, very robotic. But the sponsors and the people that actually ride bikes are more, like, a far more, like, creative breed than like the team structure. It's like they're not appealing to the people that actually ride bikes, because the people that actually ride bikes are generally, like, quite artistic, kind of like different, to be honest, like people. Yep. And you guys have, like, identified that, and also, like, you know, expressed your own, like, differences. Like, Corey's, like, extra'd out all the time, got his, you know, gold chain or gold glasses right or gold something, you know, like he got some, like, Lakers jersey.
It's a grounding device.
Lakers jersey or something, even though they don't win. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, I figured you still did. Did you change from the last time?
I have Anthony Davis jersey on today. It was LeBron James yesterday.
Oh, man. Well, I'll have to get Clay's jersey on for the next time. And then, TJ, you've done the same thing. Like, you brought, like, your art into it, and that obviously showed, because both of you guys became extremely successful with using that to, like, appeal to people and appeal to sponsors, because obviously the sponsors were like, oh, hey, we're getting good return on investment with this stuff, because people actually care about it rather than some vanilla pro cycling team and put out lots.
Well, that's why you see a lot of the times, like, these teams will get followers and then it will just stop there. Like, I know Action, I really applaud them for their social media. It's actually really good. But, like, they do, man, a great job. They haven't grown.
Yeah.
And it's because they're all the same. Everyone is the same.
Yeah.
And, like, why are you going to invest your time into that? Like, there's not much other than like what you see. Like, what you see is what you get. And I feel like on our team, like, there's so much more behind like what you see.
Yeah.
It's for me, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I really, you know, have used this time of quarantine to analyze and, you know, really look at what my program is. And I'm sure you've done the same with Legion, you know, seeing what you wanted to, where you want to take it. But yeah, I mean, you see all these people just doing the same thing. And people, I think now is the best time to wake up and realize, like, without races, there's no results.
Dude.
No results. There's no reason to sponsor exactly. a team. And so then they're not, instead of, because, I mean, all those high-end teams, all they do is post, like,
yep.
race photos. And it's just race, another thing. And for me, seeing the art side, I feel, you know, art is all about connecting to people and telling a story through emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's my goal is with Imaginary Collective is to, you know, get people to just feel that good vibe emotion of just riding the bike. And I feel like that's exactly what you guys are doing with Legion, but towards winning.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, there's not races going on, which is crazy. You know, the fact that you're able to
Bro,
still
we've
grow.
Been growing so and- much is insane. It's like literally, I mean, my goal now is to be the most followed team in the world. That's where we're headed.
Yeah.
What's the most followed team in the world?
Right? Think, no.
No, Ineos. And Ineos. They don't even have a million followers, I don't think.
Really?
I can go check that right now.
What are they at?
I have no idea. Hold on.
But I think, you know, while Corey's checking on that, like, it's not that pro cyclists aren't interesting. I think it's that the model is the model is the culture creates like the very just it wants everyone to have the same persona because it wants to they want it to be about the team. But yep. I think the team is made up of a bunch of super interesting individuals. I've met so many like very out there pro cyclists, like yep. with all kinds of different ways. Like there are the extreme guys who are like incredible in their own right, and then there's, you know, crazy dudes. Like I think that's why you see Alaphilippe blowing up. That's why like Sagan is such like an anomaly, is because he was good enough to then allow be himself and
yeah.
have but no one basically be able to tell him like you can't do that because he's yep. just like, well, I'm gonna win everything and I'll do yep. what I want. And then you see it, and then he becomes like the most valuable person in cycling because of that.
Yeah, and like you said, man, I meet so many people with like really cool stories, but like it just gets muffled by teams. Like they don't really care about the story; they care about results, and that's it.
Yeah, and results are nice. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like,
of course,
it's you and Justin couldn't pull off what you do if you didn't win. There's just no way. I mean, you guys, the winning is the justification.
Exactly,
but you gotta, you know, sell the value is in the winning fit is the finishing touch, and that's what makes it go.
Exactly.
But the value is all in the rest of the package, you know.
Exactly.
And I think with TJ it's gonna be the same thing. You know, okay, he's not trying to win, but him
winning.
his final goal of of, you know, interacting with these people at these new alternative events, like he has to A, show up there, and B, like he has to be good at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Know, and TJ's already, he's won plenty enough to justify his abilities as a cyclist. We've all seen it. You know, it's just, yeah, he's going a different way now, but he still has to be good. And for our team, and I think if you're trying to stay in the professional cycling model, then you have to allow people to be themselves, and like mm-hmm. you should encourage them to be themselves.
Yep.
But then on top of that, you still have to win.
Yep. I mean, yeah, I think you got to have – it got to be a mixture of both, right? Because you don't want to be, like, the fun team. Because that is annoying.
Yeah.
I won't even lie. Like, guys that, like, act cool and try to do, like, extreme things, and then they show up on race day and they can't do anything.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to do both.
Yeah, they're just
the
joke. You got
to train really hard in order to, like – try to be flashy or like try to tell your story. Like people are interested in winners and like interesting stories. True. Right. and they're going to want to learn more about you if you're winning.
Yep. Yeah. I think that you just nailed it on the head there.
Yeah. That,
you know, people want to, people are interested in winners too.
Yep. And
it's, but it's definitely, you know, it helps. The more there is, like the deeper that package is, then the more value it has. Exactly. What's your long-term goal with Legion? Like, where would you see, what would, like, perfect case scenario, what would you like to see the team do in the next, like, 5-10 years? You just said you'd like to see it become the most
most followed team.
Followed team, yeah. Like,
most followed team on Instagram. I think, so, all right, so Team Ineos has 880K.
Yeah.
And I think that's more than doable. I think,
yeah.
Man, it's been a conversation, honestly, with like where we want to go with it, because it's moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we potentially could be a $1 million team next year, and like,
yeah,
obviously the goals are going to change because like we didn't expect to move this fast.
No, you guys are having to wing it.
Exactly. Like, man, we've gone from like being on teams, never running a company. Never running a team to like being like given all this money and like all this responsibility to like basically put a team together of guys, manage the guys and what they want to do with their career, manage what we want to do with our career. Cause like, dude, I'm still doing 25 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Still, yeah. Right now.
Oh, this man's training so hard. Oh,
on Zwift, yeah, on Zwift.
On Zwift. On Zwift.
Oh, he is crushing it. I mean, outside too, but gosh. Yeah. Keeping up with Corey on the training program?
Are you,
holy moly.
Bro.
You breaking that up, dude? Like, are you doing that? Or like, you just
sometimes I break
session?
It up. Like, dude, sometimes I'm on Zwift all day. Like, I'll do like 2 hours in the morning and then 2 hours at night. Or I'll do like 5.5 hours straight. Like I said, I still have goals and aspirations as a cyclist. So like, steering this team and like also trying to be in the team is like a tough combination, right? Because like it's stressful when like a guy forgets something, or like, you know, somebody wants to win a race, and like now we gotta like talk to these two guys that are button heads because it's a GC, you know how GC guys are.
Oh my gosh,
it's always a GC.
Oh my gosh,
TJ and Alexi. I remember DMC, TJ and Alexi. Same thing. Yeah. I was the man in the middle there. You know,
right? Just, so we have,
hey,
we have
guys,
to
I'll ride
that.
The front and you guys can climb fast.
Right. We have to manage that. And like, man, that's stressful. We go to a race and like I was telling just another day, like we win a lot of races and like sometimes it gets mixed up that like we did good. And like sometimes we do bad and like we win. And like the guys are kind of confused because we won the race, and but like me and Justin are fuming because we didn't do it. So like even being like holding riders accountable is like a tough thing to do when you're like still racing. So like,
yeah,
man, the goal for the team, honestly, like Conti next year, and then man, I think the goal is gonna change after that, even. Like maybe Pro Continental, but like that's if we even want to do that, right? Because we can stay Conti and
yeah,
dude. I've been thinking about that because this is such a weird time, you know. Cycling's in such a weird time, like where it's basically everything is neutral or like leveled out, you know. Like, what is a governing body right now? You know, like UCI showing up, like, you know, to test you or whatever, you know, or like the UCI sending out rules and you're like, well, there's nothing going on right now. So like, do you think you could almost get enough money for Legion and just almost start setting up your own like league? Why even bother with Conti?
Well, that's
like,
the argument. That's the argument
with that.
Like I said, I still have goals and aspirations. So like, I want to take the team Conti and go do some of these bigger pro races, right? And like Justin's like thinking long term, like we need to set up a league, and like that's where we like change something in the whole, like we make it better, because like more like I feel like being Conti honestly is like you're just paying for a license, and like it kind of sucks because people give you more respect for having that license, right? Even though you can buy it.
And like, yeah, it's not an earned status, and it's exactly not that you, it's not even like you can say you have, you're a pro because you have a continental license, but like half the continental guys aren't getting a salary.
Exactly. Right. So like, that's where like, I'm like telling Justin like, hey man, like if we go pro, we get more respect from like some of these random fans and we get more following because we're a pro team and like people respect us a little bit more and take us more seriously. Right. And that's kind of like just paying for that aspect of it. And then he's like, we don't really need to pay for it. Like, we could just race our way there. And, like, you know, I don't really know what the answer is. So, like, figure it out.
Yeah, keep winging it. It's working so far, man.
Keep winging it, bro. That's what we've been doing.
No, I mean, I think it definitely is, like, it's a tricky question. I think, especially with the climate in the U.S., especially where, you know, if we had like a tour of California or something to go to, then it obviously would make a lot more sense. But we don't even know what races will exist next year.
Exactly.
But I feel like that's even like the downfall of cycling is like these teams overreaching to be that Conti status to do those tour of Californias. And it literally just costing them the whole budget. So then salaries are being non-existent, and then teams are lasting a year to 2 years max because budgets are being blown on like one race. And I would hope that you guys, just as fans and everything, would set up your own, like, honestly, just be like, we're going to do our own thing, you know, because like, you're on your path of, you know, more followers than anyone else. So who's to say why you even need someone to tell you what to do? For
sure. And that attitude's already worked so far. You basically were like, well, these teams aren't working. We're going to make our own. And it's exactly worked. So, yeah, I mean, sky's the limit for sure with the team, which is why I'm so grateful to be a part of it.
Dude, and we're super excited to have you because, like, you're helping. You got the memo already, bro. You're helping with more than just riding bikes, and I think that's why our team is successful, because we have guys like you that are willing to do more.
Well, and it's for me, like, okay, I went and I did, you know, the typical route, right?
Yeah.
But I think for me to stay like motivated and inspired, I've been so outside my comfort zone, especially this year. Also going, I mean, showing up at Boise last year, that was the first ever Twilight Crit I've ever done. It was the first ever NCC or like big USA crits race I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
So I was like already out of my comfort zone. And then now this year, you know, like I'm having to learn to A, not be vanilla, B, like, you know, how to like really Lair find up, my way bro. Into like into the lead out train, be myself. Like, I mean, I'm allowed to be myself, and it's not going to be like what Corey and Justin are. It's going to be Tyler, but, you know, like now I'm like halfway team DS manager for the Zwift races, which I'm loving. You know, like I don't know, I get to have a lot of ownership in what I do now because you guys have allowed me to kind of like flourish in that way. Whereas, and like the personal development side of that is like I'm gaining tons of skills, just as a, you know, as a human by being outside my comfort zone, not just like worrying about race, train, sleep.
Exactly.
So cool. Well,
Corey, dude, everyone listening, and I'm sure you guys get this all the time, but like, how do you join Legion? You know, like you have all these people training, seeing you guys, what are you doing? Like, what are your guys' qualifications basically to be like part of the squad? You know, because like I said, you guys have this super diverse squad that, you know, it's not, you know, your typical just guys who have fallen down the ranks, basically. You're not falling down the ranks, but like, you know, it's not just like all the guys from, you know, Conti teams that have fallen or, you know, sponsorship coming down to you, but like you guys are actually, so how do you guys look out for, do you guys like talent scout? And you guys,
When I tell you it's like, getting crazy, it's getting crazy. Like the kind of riders that are asking to be on our team, it's like ridiculous, right? Like we were taking, we were taken as a joke last year.
Really?
And like, this was a fun team, even though we won a lot of races. It was a fun team. It wasn't serious. And now we have guys that are pro continental asking. Right? So we have like essentially some of the better guys in America asking to be on the team. And my advice would be just to be yourself. Be yourself and work hard. Like if you're doing it right, man, we're gonna see it.
What's Well, what about now, dude? What about now? You guys, I mean, with nothing even going on, you know, are you guys looking more towards Zwift? I mean, because you're racing Zwift. Like, I mean, you're riding Zwift 25 hours now. You know, you're racing Zwift like every Tuesday, yeah, Wednesday, we've been on the Zwift Saturday. Grind. Like, you did the Redlands. Me and you are now overall winners of Redlands.
Supposedly, there was no overall in that race, even though Redlands is an overall race. What?
No.
Yeah, but the people know who the champ is.
I'm agree, the people's man. Champ.
Not official.
You're the people's champ.
I feel like a jersey should be sent.
Hey, me too, man.
I feel like a jersey should be sent. That's a cool thing. And I mean, it's like, why shouldn't it? Like, it was still an event with nothing else going on, so I feel like it should be respected the same. I mean, you guys are even getting ready for Gila.
Zwift racing is so out of my comfort zone. Like, I'm not the guy that's going to race FTP. Like, I'm not racing with my FTP. And, like, that's all your threat.
What's that again? So, I mean, like, a lot of people aren't going to know that.
With guys like you, are probably, like, 400. And mine is, like, 330, bro. So, like, I'm not going to be on there riding at your threshold power, which is that's essentially what Zwift is, man. Like, every time I race, my average is over 300 watts.
Yeah, it's hard.
Damn, like crazy. At least over
how
an
long's
hour.
The race
so
usually?
Like hour to hour and a half, and like that's indoor on a like trainer. Dude, that's harder like, than in a these crits race, in the big crits like. I average like 240 to 250 watts. And you tell me I got to do 50 watts more, and I don't even touch the front on Zwift. Like, I'm sitting in these races doing 300-plus watts. So, like, for me, it's just been, like, really cool to actually train at this thing, right? So, like, obviously I'm out of my comfort zone. When I get back to racing, I'll be able to ride harder for longer. But now with my skill of actually understanding how to save as much energy as possible. Because usually I'm averaging my power in a bike race.
Yeah, that's all I was about to say is, like, for people who don't know, like, I need to go check out your YouTube channel to see how you race, because it's
exactly
like, that's, I feel like, one of your biggest advantages is being able to shoot those gaps and actually knowing how to race, being in those corners, everything.
Bro.
So then here you're, like, stuck inside.
Yeah.
Your bike glued to the ground. So it's like
I literally have to like ride at like other people's power, right? Like, a lot of people are good at riding at threshold or riding at 300 all day, when like that's like literally the worst thing I'm like good at. Like, I have to adjust that, and like I've been getting better at it, so I'm like very excited to see what's gonna happen when I can save energy and be a lot stronger at the end of these races.
Are you going to continue to use this?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Like, as, like, yeah.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
sure.
Even once things open up, like, will you continue to use, as training?
Like I said, it gets me out of my comfort zone, and I'm only going to get better by riding Zwift because, like I said, it's not what I'm good at. And I'm really, really good. I think I've gotten so far in my career because of how good I am at saving energy.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a new tool, and it's a new training tool for sure. And it's been an experience learning how to race on Zwift. It's definitely different, but
a lot of second places.
Corey's again been a lot of second places, but you like hop straight into like, you know, like working super hard to get good at it to win, and you're basically there now. So
yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we were saying. Like, winning is very important to me, and like It doesn't matter. If I have to practice time trialing, bro. A year or two.
You get there.
A time trial.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, whatever, cool, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah. Dude, I think we should about wrap this up. Thanks so much
for coming on. It was great.
This has been awesome. Thank you guys
for having me. It was really cool catching up with you two. We have a lot of history together.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like this is, I mean, it's only going to grow. You know, Tyler's with you on Legion. You know, I feel like there's definitely going to be collaborations between Imaginary Collective and Legion. And I'm just stoked to, you know, always see people doing other creative things in the sport. Yeah, so man.
Thank you guys again.
Appreciate you being on.
Thanks so much for listening.
Boys. All right.
Yeah.
Take it easy, guys. Yeah. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on the next stage.